want to welcome all of you to CCV on all of our campuses this weekend. We're honored that you're here. We're wrapping up a series entitled Sounds of Marriage. And this week we're talking about echo. And when we talk about echo, really what we're meaning is we're looking at the empty nest. The children are gone. Maybe grandchildren are now a part of the picture. And you're trying to say, what's the sound? What's the echo that we want to go from our generation to the next generation to the next generation? And so I've asked some people from our church that are in different situations, different stages in their marriage, different situations, to join us as we discuss this and probably learn from each other something that will help all of us in our own marriage. So I hope this is a very encouraging and positive experience for you today. First of all, I'd like for our kind of our panel to introduce themselves. Dan and Sandy Weed, tell us about yourselves.
We're a blended family. Sandy and I knew each other in high school, and then she got tired of me. But 20 years later, we were reunited at our 20-year class reunion.
Wait a minute. Is the key there to go to your family or 20th reunion or not go? For you, well, it was a blessing.
For me, it was a very big blessing.
Good.
Yes.
Good job. Okay. And then how long have you been going to CCV?
Since 1989.
Okay.
I met you in front of the castle.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve night.
Yeah, and I'll never forget that night when Richard Bloodworth introduced Dan to me. He was one of our pastors, and I was dressed up like a living Christmas tree with lights flashing and everything, walking around greeting the people, and you saw me and you asked him, who is that guy, right?
Yeah, I wanted to know who that person was that handed me a candy cane and said, well, that's our senior pastor.
And you said, well, I'll come to church, and you've never left.
Been coming ever since.
That's awesome. Awesome. How many children do you have and how many grandchildren?
Between the two of us, we have four children,
okay.
Six grandchildren, and one great-grandchild.
Awesome. Good. Good. Debbie Holtorf, tell us about your situation.
I've been married 45 years. We have three sons, and I've been coming to CCV for about 31 years.
Okay. I think as we're looking at the panel here, some are probably thinking, well, wait a minute, where's your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Your husband, Leo, I've known mm-hmm. him a long time.
Long time.
He's a good man, but mm-hmm. you're unusual in that you have come to church and your three sons are believers, but your husband has never really had an interest in the church or spirituality. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay.
He just does not get the Jesus grace end of this.
Okay.
He thinks it's too easy, I think.
Okay, so he just doesn't understand God's grace. It is too easy.
It is.
That's awesome. Okay, and the third couple is Danny and Anita Hinkle. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Danny and I met in high school, started dated for 3 years, and we've been married for 49 years.
Wow.
Two kids and 9 grandchildren.
Wow, that's great. So really, we got some examples of people that have been married a long time. That's good. Let me ask you the first question. What is one thing early in your marriage you always thought would be important, but now as you look back on it, you say, wait a minute, I think I put too much value in that, and as I look at it now, it wasn't as important as I thought it was when I first got married. Sandy, I see you shaking your head. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go first?
Well, I think when Dan and I got married, we were focused on... We were so happy that we finally found each other. We were focused on living a dream. The great things were going to happen financially for us. Everything was going to be just this picture-perfect marriage. What we weren't focusing on at that time is getting our life right with the Lord.
Okay.
We were raised in Christian homes, both of us.
Okay.
I thank God for that. Okay. But we had strayed. And so when we first got married, we were not focused on that.
Any others? What would you say? Anything?
I would say I got married knowing that my husband was an unbeliever, but I thought I could help him believe.
Okay.
I found
missionary
out,
dating
yep.
kind of thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I found out very quickly I couldn't do anything.
Okay.
And so just prayed for him and knew I was going to be myself and come to church regardless.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Let me ask another part of that question, and that would say, early in your marriage, what is one thing that you undervalued early on that now you see it has greater value?
I think I thought Danny and I were going to be joined at the hip all the time. My family was not a Christian. My dad went his own way. My mom went her own way a lot of the time. I saw this Christian family, his family. I saw him as a Christian. I was a new believer and thought, a little bit like Sandy and Dan, this is going to be perfect. He's going to be perfect. Okay. And the expectations were totally unrealistic.
Okay. So if I hear there, I know Danny's dad was a pastor.
Right.
And so you saw this pastor's family and you thought, man, if I just had a family like that, it would be awesome.
What? I fell in love with his family.
There you go.
His mom was the only Bible teacher I'd had. Okay. I loved her dearly. My family was known in the whole community as not being a believing family. And so we had that kind of obstacle because they were honored. Yeah. And that was not an expectation of other people. So I wanted to live up to their expectation also. Okay. And be the perfect wife.
Okay. That is interesting. I think sometimes for those that are raised in some families that we would say today are maybe a little more dysfunctional, if we see a spouse's family, it's probably easy as we're around that family to think, man, this is perfect. And then you marry one of them and you find out it's not so perfect after all. Okay? What would you say is the key to longevity in your marriage? A second marriage for you guys, but 33 years, 45, 49. That's incredible. You just don't see that today. If you had to pick one or two words, Danny, what's the key to longevity in your marriage?
I think for us, it has honestly been something that Ashley talked about in the first message, and that's mutual submission. When we got a hold of that a few years into our marriage, it's made all the difference in the world.
Okay.
It really has for us.
Okay. Can I push back on that?
Sure.
I'm listening. What's mutual submission? That means there's a tie? You know, I mean, what does that mean in a relationship?
It's when I finally realized I needed to put her, Anita, above myself.
Okay.
And I didn't do that early on.
Okay.
I had a tough time. I was one of those early young pastors that my mistress was the church, right?
Okay.
But as time went by, several years, she was able to point out to me in a very clear way that
Wives are good at that, aren't they?
I needed to spend more time honoring her and loving her the way that Christ loved the church.
Okay.
And so that's what I mean when I say
good.
That.
Yeah, yeah. I think we sometimes hear the thing in marriage that, you know, I'm going to marry this person, they're going to meet all my needs. And as we know, only Jesus Christ can meet all of our needs. And so, but the way I put the other person's needs ahead of my own is one of the best things that happen. So mutual submission is huge. In a culture today that says, I'll do it my way, I'm in charge, that would be great. Any others? Key to longevity in marriage? What about, boy, there'd be a key, because there's probably some ladies in our church saying, wait a minute, you mean to tell me this lady's gone to our church for, have you been to CCV for how many years?
31 years since Toya Elementary.
Yeah, before we ever had property. 30 mm-hmm. years, and mm-hmm. I see you serving faithfully every week. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the key to your longevity?
Well, first of all, when you say your wedding vows, you're not just saying them to your husband. You're saying them to Christ also.
Okay.
And in reading the Bible, you know what he says about divorce, how he feels about it. And also, I didn't want that for my kids.
Okay.
I wanted them to grow up in a home with a mom and a dad, and I knew he was very important in their life, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So you had a first marriage, went your separate ways. Now you're together. What's one of the keys for the longevity for you guys?
Acceptance. We had some baggage. We had made some not so good decisions. And Sandy and I went into our marriage with our eyes wide open, realizing that we were bringing kids together, parents together, friends together. We had 20 years of living that some of it was good and some of it was not good.
Okay.
And so there were a lot of things that we needed to accept and staying active. We believe in being active.
You know, boy, I think you hit on something. There's a lot of people, when they get divorced and remarried, they think their love is just going to sustain them, but there is all kinds of baggage with a blended family that often people don't see. Which leads me to the next question. Describe a situation in your marriage where you said, man, this is something we had to work through, and what did you learn from it? Would you go ahead with that, Dan or Sandy?
That would be our granddaughter.
Yeah, our granddaughter.
What about your granddaughter?
She turned 18, and we always brought our grandkids to church.
Right.
Okay, and when she turned 18, she took a wild path. She ended up pregnant, and through the course of everything that happened, her parents wouldn't accept her at their home, so we took her in, her and the baby in. Okay. And 3 years, a little over 3 years into that, she left, and we were left raising the great-grandson. It was a mutual agreement. She knew it was better for the baby. And so that was a challenge for Dan and I to...
So how many years have you had your grandson?
He'll be 10 in January.
So 7 years.
Almost seven, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What, boy, that is something you don't plan on happening,
right?
When all the kids leave home.
Right.
But the kids, grandkids come back, and then the great-grandkids.
Right.
What have you learned from that experience?
Patience, for one thing, and just how amazing God's grace, mercy, and love really is. We wouldn't trade one single day of this whole experience.
Okay.
It's been amazing, and it means a lot to be able to demonstrate not only to our grandchildren, but also to their parents, our children, what it is to live out our faith.
Okay. Okay, Debbie, got to go back to you. Man, a non-believing husband, you've got to have some situations you had to work through. Mm-hmm. What were they? How'd you learn from that?
One main one I can think of, at one point when we were at West Town between the Circle K and the bar.
Okay, and for some of you that are new to CCV, that first 15 years of our church, we had no property, and we went from a movie theater to a school to a West Town. It was basically a strip mall with a Circle K on one end and a bar on the other end. They would come and get coffee before they heard me preach. It was so bad they had to go to the bar afterwards. So that's kind of what she's talking about here, okay? So go ahead.
And there was a point where my husband told the boys they didn't have to attend church if they didn't want to. He was made to go to church. He hated it. And that unless they wanted to go, they didn't have to go. So the next week, they didn't go. I cried all the way to church. I cried all the way home. And that happened for about 2 weeks. And I was really praying about it. And so I set them all down. And I said, who takes you to soccer practice and to the movies and to Great Skate and picks up all of the baseball players and goes to the batting cage? And they said, you do. And I said, well, now I don't. And they said, why? And I said, because you know in your heart the right thing to do is to get up and go worship the Lord. And if you can't do that and don't have enough time, I don't have enough time to take you to those places. So it's up to you, because I didn't want to go against what their dad had said, but I wanted to give them a choice of what they wanted to do.
Okay. Wow. Tough mom. Okay. One of the struggles today, people say, you know what? The kids are messed up today, and I'll put it out there. I'm an old guy. I think mm-hmm. Most of the struggles with our kids today is not our kids, it's their parents. Mm-hmm. Parents are way too soft, way too easy, and give in to the kids. And basically, mm-hmm. You didn't force them, but you mm-hmm. basically made them realize how blessed they were for you to drive them mm-hmm. around. And this is a way to not go against your husband, but to reinforce your values.
Right.
A lot
so
of wisdom
in
that.
The next week they got up, too.
The next week they got up.
Yes.
Okay.
I just went out and woke them up. I said, it's up to you. And I woke them up. And they got up, and they went to church.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about you guys? Any story you want to share?
We've only been hands-on grandparents for 5 years. We have a 19-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Okay.
Our son moved away a year after our first grandson was born. We saw them 2-3 times a year. We left our children back in Oklahoma to come to Arizona, our daughter with her 4 children, 12 to 7 years old. It was a difficult decision. It really was. I didn't have the example of being close to either of my grandparents. I didn't see the significance in it. So I really appreciate when people are strategic with their grandchildren.
And now you have a son in Australia. Helping start a church in Australia. So you've got grandkids that you might see once a year. Of course, Skyping helps, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
How difficult is that with this whole echo with your grandkids a long ways away? What do you do there?
One thing that I've committed to do is every morning I text my son, my daughter-in-law, my daughter, my son-in-law, let them know how much we love them and that I'm praying for them, and to keep their eyes focused on the Lord in all that they're doing. Then our grandkids who have devices, their phones or iPods, out of the 9, I'm able to text 5 of them, and I do that every morning, and pretty much say the same thing to them, just reminding them how much we love them. And just recently, some college students introduced me to Bitmoji, and as a result, I now have a character that I can send that has I love you and all kinds of little things, and the grandkids especially. I get more responses now from them than I do my kids and in-law, or son-in-law and daughter-in-law. So that's how I try to instill within them a reminder every day. We love them, and we're praying for them.
I really wish you hadn't shared that, Danny, because, man, that makes me feel guilty. I'm not a techno guy, and I'm still old school. If I call them, I want them to talk to me.
Right.
They don't answer the phone, but if, by the grace of God, once a year I text them, they answer immediately. And so if I want to have a relationship with my grandkids, if some of them have moved away, mm-hmm. I've got to get into their world technology-wise, because I thought maybe just cutting them out of the will would help, but they can't see the long-term benefit of that. So that's great that you do that.
Yep.
I need to learn from that. That's something mm-hmm. to keep connected into their world. That's awesome. Basically, what do you want to be remembered for? If you think of, you've heard me say in several messages, don't make money, make memories, and so on. If you could think, whether your kids, your husband, your other people that observed your life, if you would say in a few words, this is what I really want to be remembered for, what would you say?
I'm echoing my grandfather. He was my hero, my Christian hero. And I want to be able to be that same way for my children and their children. I may or may not be able to see the results of really working at living out my faith, but it doesn't matter, because I know that same echo is going to get handed down.
Okay, you know,
with God's grace.
Dan, let's push on that, because I know something about your grandfather from our conversation that most people don't know, and help me get this right. Your grandfather came out to Arizona on a train years ago, correct?
Yes, and 1912.
1912, and on Sunday, he made him stop the train. In Albuquerque, and did he disconnect his car, or did he just stop it? What did he do? Because it was Sunday.
It was the Sabbath.
Okay.
It's what they called Sunday back then.
Yes.
And because it was time for church, well, he had the car disconnected.
He
preached right from the flat car.
Okay, so he had the car disconnected from the train, and he preached. And then he came to Phoenix and established what is now around, is it 75th and?
Thunderbird,
which right. was called Weedville.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Named after his grandfather.
Right.
Okay, and there's this interesting story of his values, because I think when they finally sold the corner, there's now a Walgreens?
Yes.
Is this right?
Yes.
They had to get the
Walgreens corporate attorneys
to
had
change,
to contact the family to get permission.
To sell alcohol.
Yes. Yes.
Because
yeah.
it was in the land stipulations that would never be sold for something selling alcohol.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they had to go back and get it changed. So you think about 1912, your grandfather disconnecting a railroad car coming out here on Sunday. I can see why he was your hero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those mm-hmm. values, it took a while, but those values were handed down.
Okay. Good. What about some of the rest of you? What do you want to be remembered for?
I think in our family, being inclusive, my parents loved everyone. There was never a time that we didn't have someone living in our home, either families, strangers. Danny's family was much the same way. Our children do that. We've always had, Danny's mom lived with us for 27 years.
Okay, wait a minute. People that didn't hear that. Danny's mother lived with you for 27 years.
27 years.
Okay.
And so our home became Grandma's house also. Mm-hmm. So it was Danny's family, their friends, the aunts and uncles, the nieces and nephews. Our children are doing the same thing. And it doesn't make any difference
okay.
whether it's a girl panhandling on the corner in downtown Indianapolis. She needs help. She needs a way to stay in
well,
school.
Great.
Or missionaries that come into our family. So
I hope you're hearing some of the values that are being transferred here. One, the little things they've said, taking in a grandparent or a mother for 27 years, raising a grandchild, grandchild and a great-grandchild for 7 years in a family where everybody's not a believer. Man, mm-hmm. that's awesome. So, Debbie, what do you want to be remembered for?
I really think service. That's my love language. That's what makes me happy. And so I hope that I'm known for that and caring because
okay.
I do care.
And, you know, and I've seen you, you're a greeter. You mm-hmm. serve communion and so on, and you've been doing that for 30 years. And you need to know as a pastor, whether other people notice it or not, man, God has blessed our church because of people like this that are not afraid to make a commitment and serve for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Some people would say, well, don't you get burnt out? Don't you want to do something else? No, that's your gift. You mm-hmm. love it. You always smile. You welcome mm-hmm. people. That's awesome. Why is it so important to leave a legacy of faith? Because as you think about your different situations, why is it so important to you that you leave a legacy of faith? I'm going to come back and ask you again, because here's a home where a dad wasn't. Your three boys now are married.
Mm-hmm.
They go to CCV.
They're Christian wives.
They married Christian wives.
Who have Christian parents.
Mm-hmm. And the grandkids go to church as well.
All have accepted the Lord, except for two, and they're young. Two haven't been baptized, but they've definitely accepted the Lord.
Okay, getting there. Okay.
We have eight.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it so important to leave a legacy of faith?
There's nothing more important.
Wow.
That's it. There is nothing more important than that.
I think what we're hearing here is your echo can continue even mm-hmm. when things don't go well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people we hear, man, the church people are perfect. No, we're all imperfect people following a perfect Lord. And he loves us in spite of it. Mm-hmm. And God can use anything if we hang in there and we're mm-hmm. faithful.
Yes.
And so the faithfulness that you have there, I think, is incredible. As they saw your consistent service, I go back to my mom and dad, church was not an option, and mm-hmm. you basically for 31 years have said, I'm here every week,
mm-hmm.
and boy, your kids saw it as a lifestyle.
I knew I was coming, so they were going.
Say that again?
I knew I was coming, so I knew they were going.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
What would the rest of you say? Why it's so important to leave a legacy of faith?
You know, I have to think back to my childhood. My parents were very strong Christians, and they raised me. I had to be at church every weekend, and I was born again at a young age, but as I left the home, I strayed from it. But I know it's from the fervent prayers of my parents through the years that Dan and I were reunited and our faith became strong together. I made a lot of mistakes as a single mom. My children don't know the Lord. So I strive, and Dan and I strive for them now to see how important it is that church is our number one priority. God is the number one in our life. They don't see anything else from us, then we failed. So they have to be. And one more thing, I remember back when my parents were growing up, I never heard my parents say a crossword to each other. They never fought. And Dan and I try to do that same example. We're not perfect, but through all the trials and tribulations that we've had, through health challenges and everything, we've tried to always represent the Lord in the best way that we could.
Okay. You know, that's interesting. We're not talking about communication, but I never saw my mom and dad argue either that much, and I kind of wish I would have, because then when my wife and I had some disagreements, I didn't know how to do that. I thought we're supposed to get along. You know, mom and dad did. I didn't know what happened in the other room,
mm-hmm.
and so there's some pros and cons with that.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Yeah, you modeled that. Hinkles, why is it so important to leave a legacy of faith?
Well, first, let me just say that Anita and I like to fight.
Okay.
Because we love making up.
Okay.
And that's a good thing.
Okay.
That's true.
But why we want to leave a legacy of faith is because for me, for Anita, there's no other way to live. I believe when Christ came into our lives that we became really new people, and we're just striving to live that way, and we want our family to join us in that. I love something, Don, you say when you talk about you want to take as many to heaven, and that starts with our family, and that's what I want. I want them to build on the faith they see. I want to be an encourager to them so that they can encourage others to follow Jesus. Wow.
You know, I've heard somebody say, I think maybe they were talking about making a preacher or making, I don't know what it was, but it takes three generations to see that happen sometimes. And I know your dad was a preacher, you're a preacher, your son's a preacher. You see that, you know, and I'm working on the third generation myself. But I want you to know that you guys, maybe grandpa skipped a generation, you're back in there, skipped again, but you're still back in. So that's awesome. And what you've done, man, the foundation you've set for your kids, and you're already starting to see it in that third generation. So for some of you, I want to say, you know, you're saying, man, I don't have three generations of faith. I'm the first believer in my family. Awesome. You can see the difference. Some of you have said, well, I had parents that were Christians. I fell away. You can see examples of a missed generation and also of somebody continue it. So no matter where you are, it's never too late to begin your echo and begin your journey of transferring your values, because your kids and your grandkids are watching you, whether you realize it or not. What are some of the key things that you're doing to pass on your values? Would you say texting, would that be? And not just saying I love you, but there's other things you can add?
Well, I think that is true, and I think Anita could probably add a few things via her phone conversations and Skyping or FaceTime that she does.
Do you FaceTime together with them?
We do.
How often?
About once every 3 weeks.
Okay.
They're busy, we're busy, but I get lonely, and I just text and say, I have to see your face. I love them. They're some of my they are my favorite people.
Right.
I want to spend time with them, and whatever we have to do to make it happen, we're committed to that.
You know, that's interesting that today, through Skyping, seeing their face is different than just hearing their voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. The little girls can pop in and out, and I can see their creative outfits and be a part of that.
Good.
Or know what Braden's reading or what sport's going on.
Okay.
Want to know.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is one of the ways that you keep passing on your values is you're staying connected. Yep. You're trying to figure out how to stay connected. What would you guys say?
Consistency.
Consistency. But we also are staying connected to those in our family that don't know the Lord or that are starting to turn around. I want to just say this. Our granddaughter is starting to turn around. She's reestablished her life. And if things keep progressing the way they are through our constant prayer and communication, and she will get her little boy back probably the end of this school year.
Okay.
And that's a huge praise for what has happened in her life.
Boy, so. You know, that the word I think I heard you say was consistency.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's difficult as a parent sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's where, if I go back to the sermon on the first chair, second chair, third chair, mm-hmm. the real difference between the first chair and the second chair, that first chair is somebody that's all in every mm-hmm. week. All in. And that second chair is, I love God, but I put myself first. And that's where that inconsistency comes in that people see. So fantastic. How about you? What would you say are the things you're trying to do? You said you serve. Anything else?
I serve in junior high and high school.
Okay. Wait a minute. You work overtime at the church. So you mean you serve on the weekend greeting, and then where do you serve with junior high and high school? Do you have a group of girls?
I don't have a group in junior high this year because I'm waiting for my granddaughter for next year to come up. But I help out when Sherry Dill needs me to help out.
Okay. So what you will do is when your granddaughter moves up as a freshman, you'll take her and work with them for...
Well, I'm in high school with my freshman
granddaughter
now. Okay. But I will be junior high also
next you'll take
year.
Two groups.
I'm going to try.
Love it. Okay. And that way you can be a part of their lives almost every week.
And they serve. They serve in the young kids area.
Well, why should they do that? Because grandma models it for them. Mm-hmm. See?
And they love it.
Yeah.
They really love it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Man, this is encouraging to me as a pastor. I hope encouraging to our church that you see the fruits of a faithful mom, whether her husband came or not, that didn't... become divisive, didn't leave him, honored her marriage vows, and said, I'm going to remain faithful, but I'm not going to compromise my faith. And what your kids have seen. Do you guys, your servant attitude, raising part of your granddaughter and your great-grandson, I honor you. That'd be hard for me to do, I think. I'm probably a little selfish, so that God would have to work a new character trait in my life. And so, but I really, I know you guys, the residents in our residency program stay with you, and they all love it when they're through.
We're just raising more kids.
That's good. So if I don't get along in my marriage, I might move
in
a few years with you. And Danny and Anita, thank you for your faith, the way you've ministered to people, and just the encouragement you give to so many. And it's going to be exciting to see your kids out of state and out of country continue to catch your values as they continue to grow and serve and love the Lord. What I want to say to our church today is, no matter what stage of marriage you're in, you can't echo your values. Whether they're little, still at home, whether they're teenagers, whether they've left home, whether the grandkids, whatever they are, they're watching you. And you heard consistency, you heard servant attitude, you heard staying connected. All those things are important if we're going to transfer our values to the next generation. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your love for us. We acknowledge we're not perfect. We've made mistakes, but thank you for your grace. Thank you for the fact that you're the God of the second chance, and you continually give us an opportunity to learn through life and love those that we love so much. And so thank you for the panel. Thank you for our church, and I pray that no matter what situation our families and marriages find themselves in, they will find out that putting you first, being consistent, serving, putting others' needs ahead of others, of themselves, everything they've shared, that's all a part of going the distance and echoing our values to others. And so I pray you'd bless every person, bless every marriage, bless every family to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to remind you, about every 2 years, we take a group of people to the Holy Lands, to land of Israel, to walk where Jesus walked. And we're going to do that next September. And it's on the webpage. And so all of our campuses, if you're interested in going, that usually fills up really quick. I would encourage you to go online and sign up and walk where Jesus walked. I promise you, you'll never read the Bible the same again. The Bible will come alive as you walk where he walked. So if that's something you'd like to do, I would encourage you to go to our webpage as soon as you can on all of our campuses and try to get signed up and be a part of that. I want to turn the service over now to each of our campus pastors as they come to close the service. Thank you so much.